is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
And welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live this morning from it's a little cloudy Radio Ranch this morning. Had a beautiful sunrise, but here it is, August 18th, 2018. That's 8-18-18 for you numerology folks out there. That kind of lines up this morning. But we welcome you, and we've got a couple extra guests this morning. First, we'll say good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we've got a couple guests from the Midwest. Good morning, Brother Paul.
Good morning.
And Zach as well. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
And we appreciate you guys taking time out of your busy day to join us this morning, and we thank you, the Remnant, for joining us as well. And we've got plenty to talk about this morning, but we're going to start out with a word of prayer, and Jason, we'll ask you to open us up in prayer.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us all in the directions that we go, Father. We pray, Father, for the remnant across this land, and we pray that you tend to their needs. As we recognize that we're living in different times, we pray for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, power, and authority over the forces that come against us and come against your people. We pray that you deliver your people from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and all the forces that come against us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Yes, amen and amen.
Amen.
So, lots going on. Plenty going on out west. Paul, I'll ask you first. How you been, and how do you see things going? You got anything you want to start off with this morning? Or?
Well, I'm doing fine personally. I don't know. The world seems to be in a state of confusion. But other than that, you know, keep your eyes on the Lord. So.
Amen. Amen to that. And
well, Paul, there's something I was going to ask you about. I was going to ask you, I don't know, it was interesting because we had this, you know, it seemed like, it really seems like a victory with this Montano case that happened out there in California. We heard about that. We talked about that a little bit last week, but this week was what was interesting to me is, boy, I'll tell you what, the farming communities, as far as on the radio and in their news, boy, they are just, they're terrified of this. It was, you know, I was listening to, there's a, we got a rural radio program out here that, you know, sometimes they have a lot of good farming and ranch and stuff, and I really enjoy listening to it, and they got market reports and stuff on there. But one of the things that I noticed, it was a common theme this week, is, oh, how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to, I mean, and it was, you know, basically talking about the glyphosate and how there's a war on it. And, you know, they had several programs this week that it was, and they were talking about nothing more than how people are fighting against these technology advances that we've made, and it's the only possible way that we're going to be able to feed the people in the next 20 and 30 years. You know, we've got to produce more food and on less acreage, and you know, it was basically, I mean, they were scared to death because they don't believe that we can do it without without Roundup.
What's your question?
What do you think of the whole thing?
Well, Babylon's falling. You know, you got to go back to Leviticus. It says, "Don't plant your seeds with your fields with mingled seeds." And that's it. We're so far off the track; it's pathetic. These people have forgotten how to farm, and they—you know—farmers are a bunch of drug addicts. What it amounts to, they want it easy. They plant that corn in the ground, and they don't have to touch it till they harvest it. It's just really easy. I wove out west last year. You go through Iowa and Nebraska, I mean, them fields are just gorgeous.
Oh, they are.
There has to not a weed in them, but, you know, we got a thing here in Michigan called the medical mile. Yeah, if somebody don't wake up, it's going to be 2 miles long. Everybody's sick. And the way glyphosate works, it was designed as a boiler cleaner, which grabs every cation, which is calcium is one of them, and there's a bunch of them. They're positive charge. I grabbed every one of those and ties it up. And that way it works in that plant, it holds onto those cations, and it basically, they lose their immune system. Now, they did something to this corn so it don't kill them, and beans and wheat and you name it, soybeans. They don't kill them, but it goes on into the soil, and it's just messing the soil up also. Yeah, it's a monster.
Yeah.
And you know, and I've seen that you had it on the thing about the board of directors on Monsanto, and every one of them, I think, was in Congress. 90% of them were.
Yep.
They were all in the government. So you see, they got a club. It's really a big club, and they don't want to fix nothing. They don't really want to fix it. They want people sick, so they make money there. They make money on chemicals in the farm industry, and the farmer has been sucked into it. He don't believe he can live without it. And how many people have you known that have finally got off medicine or do just as well without it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
There's plenty of stories like that. It's going down. I mean, you're watching it. There's an undertow of people out here. You know, there's a real demand for non-GMO food. It's growing.
It is.
I have a cherry farm up north. They got 2,200 acres of tart cherries. And, well, they've taken 200 acres and going organic with it this year. And
wow.
I do sap tests for these. I take where I test the sap, and those trees are so much healthier than the ones that they take. And I had a guy tell me the other day, we don't know what these chemicals do when, you know, they spray them. But all these plant growth regulators, like, they have a product called Retain, which keeps apples on the trees. It costs $400 an acre. It works, but what it does, it shuts that tree right down so it can't function. You know, and then the fruit don't ripen properly. That's where your sweetness comes in the final days of ripening of any product. And it shuts that down. It just manipulates it. We got a total mess on our hands. Years ago, I planted some open pollinated corn. I don't know if you know what velvet leaf is. It's a real epidemic weed in corn here, but I planted that, and it was a guy south here planted it, and that velvet leaf got about a foot and a half tall and stopped growing in that open pollinated corn, and it never set a flower.
Really?
Yeah, and I've seen it two different places. See, that's the power, you know, when you get, if you get good, healthy, viral seeds, I mean, they have, you know, there's a whole thing of rye is antagonistic to weeds and all that. And farming is a 2 and 3 year project. You got to be planning ahead all the time. And everybody wants to just get their fifth wheel and come up to Michigan from Illinois and go home and harvest it. So, and that's going to affect them. They're going to have to do some thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a monster, and it's coming apart, and it's a wonderful thing, but don't...
That's what it's encouraging to me, is just to see it coming apart. I mean, you see places that are rejecting it, you know, they're saying, no, we don't want this genetically modified crap, it's killing people. You see people waking up to it. I like the way you put it with these farmers being a bunch of drug addicts. That's what I've seen, too, in talking with them. I mean, a lot of them, there's just no other way. I mean, they're just so programmed into that way of thinking that they can't even hardly get away from, and step outside the box a little bit.
Yeah, I had a lady, a customer here, and they got a magnolia tree in the front yard, and they had cotton maple scale all over it. And well, their husband's a drug addict. He's got Roundup around all his trees. He's got old chemicals from, he sprayed it with everything, and it really wasn't touching it. So I took my fertilizer and went put around the base of that tree, and I come back a week later. I took them out there, looked at it, and see that scale fell right off in there. It was dead. It couldn't stand it. With my fertilizer, good nutrition, it ain't just what I do. It's just flat good nutrition has a huge impact on plants and people.
And people, too. That's right. Yeah, there was a news article week glyphosate, has been found in kids' breakfast cereals, Cheerios, Lucky Charms, Quaker Old Fashioned Oats, even what they call the organic part, Cracklin' Oat Bran, Whole Oat Grain Cereal, all these things that they're finding that they're, that these chemicals are not just sprayed and then done with. That they're finding them in the food that we're eating, I like how you put it, Paul. It's this Babylon coming apart. It is the way things the way things are not the way things people thought they were.
No, this Huber, he was a professor at Purdue University. He looked into this and he did all the research on it. And he put out an article, "Are we shooting ourselves in the foot?" But he figured out how it all worked, and it's a terrible, terrible thing. And people just there's an article here I got off that's news in 16 about Monsanto scrambling to bury the breaking story. and it's got all those cereals and the amount of them in them and everything way back in 16.
Yes.
Jason must have put this on here. So yeah, it's a real deal. And people are awakening, and there's people in denial. People with all their medicine, too, they won't try something different. So you get to choose your destiny.
Amen.
Yeah, we see the same thing with people and their health and stuff, too. I mean, it's like you try to tell somebody that, okay, yeah, you don't need that that medicine that the doctor's, trying to pump down. You look at the side effects. I mean, you can sit there and read the side effects on the, in the paperwork that they give you. And, 90% of the time, 99% of the time, you by the time you're done reading the side effects, a logical thinking person would be like, hey, I'm better off without these side effects and just dealing with what I got. That's people can't think that way. It's right before their eyes.
You can't blame the doctors. People like it that way, too.
Yeah.
That's true. I've heard my father-in-law say, ain't they got a pill for that?
Yes.
So, there's a lot of things that cause cancer.
Yeah. Well, and it's what's neat is down here we got two or three different farmers markets. If you go there, and I'll tell you what, there's really getting to be a lot of the organic stuff. And I'll tell you what, you just eating a bowl of organic green beans, something that's not genetically modified versus something that that they throw all the chemicals out. I mean, the flavor difference is just amazing. But it's you do that for, you eat healthy food for a couple of days, and I tell you what, it's amazing how a person feels after eating good, solid, healthy food. It's just, you know, it's just awesome.
Well, you got a food that's not grown right, you put it in your stomach, and then your body works really hard to digest it, and they can't do it. And that's part of your fatigue there. And, you know, when if food won't rot, you can't digest it. You know, and some of the stuff will sit on the shelf for how long. Something ain't right with that picture. So, yeah, there's a big change coming, and there will be survivors.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
What do you see going on in the world, Zach?
I think the world has literally gone mad. I don't know. I watch the news media, and the stuff that comes out on the news media, I literally just shake my head. Anybody with any type of common sense, that just common sense, why people would take certain stance on these things, literally just flabbergasted. I don't know what to think. The stuff that comes out on the news media is just, I think the news media and the left is absolutely terrified of any type of repentance that comes upon this land. So that's why I think that the news media takes the position that they do on a lot, on any given topic, whether it be the Russian probe going on, whatever it might be. I think that the news media is literally terrified of any type of repentance that goes on this land, because they, I think they instinctively know if there's any repentance that the hand of God will literally move and make them disappear. They've had a good run, and like we were talking about with the food, people are starting to wake up. They're starting to wake up to certain things, and it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot of people to wake up in order to get God to get real antsy to start doing stuff. And I think it makes them nervous. So, you know, keep your eyes on the Lord. Witness when you can, as accurately as you can. And it's a great thing to be a servant of the Lord.
Amen.
It's a privilege that we have to be a servant of the Lord. So, I just encourage people to get in the fight, because Jesus Christ is the ruler and reigns over this world right now. And people are waking up, and people are more open to the Word of God. Because I think that you recognize that the news is completely insanity. And people are going to start looking into the Word, looking to God to relieve them of the things that are going on, whether it be food, whether it be a political institution. It's coming. It is coming. I can feel it in my bones. And I'm really excited, and I'm happy to be alive at this time, and I'm happy to be a servant of the Most High. And I'm glad He told me. That's what I think. I mean, people are getting crazy. But there are some that are waking up, and I'm glad for it.
What makes me think, you know, when Pastor Peter was up there in that mountain fixing fence, and them elk came by, you know, and he went out and said, boo, and they didn't move, and he's, who's afraid of who here?
That's right.
You know, and I think we got to keep that in mind, who's afraid of who. They're, these people are scrambling to save their way of life. I remember I just, just listened to Pastor Peter talking about Paul Harvey, how the unemployment line was so long, but the economy is great, you know, the exoteric message. Their system is great, has been, but people are waking up. And that part, when they do and they turn back to the Lord, they're done. You know, the writers of the Constitution said this government will only work for a God-fearing people. This government ain't working, kids.
You know? I was listening to Dave Ramsey, about a week ago, and he was talking about the millennial generation, and he was kind of sticking up for him. Now, I know a lot of people that are listening to me, which I think, you know, Dave Ramsey, whatever. I don't agree with everything that Dave Ramsey says, but one of his observations about the millennials, and he was saying he's got 200-300 of them that work for him, and he was saying he's never seen a generation that that is more cause-driven than the millennials. And I got to thinking about it. You know, he's right. He is absolutely right about the millennials, because if they take a look around, they watch the news media, they go to the regular Judeo-Christian church, there's literally no cause. And no wonder why they don't want to go do anything. We, you know, those guys need a cause. And what's the cause? Well, church, the true Jesus Christ, that's a great cause.
Amen.
And I was sitting there thinking about it, you know, maybe we need to focus on those kids more, or that younger generation that's coming up behind my generation, because my generation, the greatest generation, the baby boomers, have literally left those guys with no cause. The way we have the system set up, because of our sin, because of our unrepentance. And, like, if you, in this audience here, they know the Israel story. They know why there was a dispersion at the time of Jesus Christ. What was that dispersion? That dispersion was because of the generations before them, because of their sin and their unrepentance. And they were put in that position because of it. And we've done the exact same thing to them as a nation as a whole. And I say we give them guys a cause. Because if they take a look around, whether it be GMO food, whether it be political, whether it be a Judeo-Christian church, them guys have no cause. You know, and like Randy was saying, he's like, I give them a cause. And he says, they're the hardest working people I've ever seen. Well, you know, why would they want to get up and go to work and be passed out of oblivion? Well, it's because of our sin and our unrepentance as a nation as a whole. And, you know, we have a great opportunity to change that. And if we don't seize that opportunity, then they're not going to have a cause, and it's just going to get worse. So I look at everything as an opportunity. The insanity, whatever you guys want to call it, it's a great opportunity, and we need to seize it.
Yeah, good point. You know, Zach, it reminds me when we read in Isaiah, or I think it was in Jeremiah, when they found the law. They found the law, and they started reading it. And they read it in front of the people. It was talks about, what, for 4 days straight. And it pierced the hearts of the people. And I think you bring up a good point, that there's so many today that they just don't know. Their parents or their grandparents had turned away years ago, or were just not raised in any type of true Christian home, or even later in life didn't come to Christ. And so it's like that boat that's out there tossed to and fro on the ocean with no rudder, and it's just tossed here and there. The wind blows it where it wants. This is the second and third generation of that, the parents and the grandparents that have turned from God, like we read, absolutely, what led up to the dispersion, the sin, the wickedness, the sacrificing to other gods, the worshiping the false idols, the works of their own hands, as the first of Jeremiah puts it. But God is willing, if this people will return to Him, but they have to know. They have to know, and that's the kicker, is getting that message to them.
Well, look what every church teaches, the law is done away with. Every church you go to, every person knows the law is done away with. Yeah. Now, the Bible says that the law converts the heart.
Yes.
And then when you're converted to heart, you know, I don't know about you guys, Zach and I ain't too movable. I'm kind of suspect you're the same way. But because of the law, that changes everything. And that's been taken out of the church, you know. And sin is a transgression of the law. I mean, that's really simple.
Yes.
And like you said, when people go back to the, not having a church background might not be a hindrance. I think it was Finney in the from Sea to Shining Sea. He had no church background. He went to be a lawyer, and he was studying law. Well, he kept tracing it back, and he came to the Bible, and then he was a great evangelist, whatever he ended up being. But it was profound. But he had no biblical ground from the beginning, and that's not a hindrance to people, because I think some of our, when we drag our religion with us, is a real hindrance. I had a big part of my life is fighting my way out of that system just from preconceived ideas I had. And if you don't have none of that, that's a blessing. You know, we used to have a lawn service too, and you go out there and spray some 2,4-D on dandelions. Well, that was great. If you didn't kill it, there's nothing you could do with it. I mean, you it was immune to it, and you couldn't touch it. But it consumed, you have to, and that's the trouble with people, they're not converted completely, and they got religion, and they think they got something, and that's just like that weed you can't touch. You know, they get immune to it, and they, you know, and people get fed up with a lot of people that were in my age group have left the church and did absolutely nothing with it. I left the church and stuck my nose in the Bible, but there's not very many people like me that do that. They just say, hey, I want no part of that. You know, so they go their merry way.
You're right. It's getting the people back to the Bible, like you're saying, Paul. I'm agreeing with you. Back to the Bible.
Yep, back to the law.
Everybody gets involved in the Bible and Christianity because the initial reaction is they understand that they have sinned and there's a barrier between them and God. And God's going to kick their butt. They understand that whether it happens in their lifetime or after they die, they get that. That's why people get involved in the Bible and in the churches. And, you know, that's why I got involved in this ministry, you know, because I understood that I needed Jesus. And Pastor Peters, you know, with the booklet that Uncle Paul gave me, or the beginner pack, and I don't know if the ministry still offers that, but it was the basic plan of salvation. And Pastor Peters laid it all out. There was like 3 or 4 books, and I just took it all in. And I didn't hesitate on the baptism. He explained everything, why things were the way they were, who is who, and that's great. But then as you grow and you mature, it becomes not only a self-preservation thing as in the beginning. It becomes you're not preserving yourself. You are trying to preserve the people around you. You
yes.
are trying to preserve the land. It becomes not about you. And the churches, the Judeo-Christian churches, you know, I hear every Sunday, you know, people want to die and go to heaven. And it's a self-preservation mentality. Well, now, I rarely think of dying and going to heaven. There's way too much work to do down here to even think about that. Because Jesus preserved me. You know, he preserved the guys that are on this radio show right now. And hopefully a lot of the people that are listening. He preserved. That's done. Now the task is preserving the people around you, the community, the land. That's why the GMOs and all that other stuff in the politics are because people are so focused in on self-preservation that they lose sight of everything. And Jesus said, those that lose their life will gain it. Well, what does that mean? Well, those are the guys that are out trying to preserve everything around them and trying to do it accurately. So the self-preservation mentality is really, if you get right down to it, could be part of the core of why everything is the way it is. You know, that's why the farmers, they're terrified because Monsanto's getting the butt kicked. It boils right down to self-preservation. And, you know, we need to get away from that mentality because it's not about us. I'm worried about what this country's going to look like when my kids are 40. and they're raising their kids, you know. It's the seasons down the road away. And so that self-preservation mentality, you know, we need to get away from that, because if you went down in that baptism and you're faithful, you're preserved, period. And if you did it accurately and you remain faithful, you know, you're done. You're supposed to be in the army. You're supposed to be putting on that full armor of God. You have a mission statement, and that's to spread the gospel accurately.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. And then when we do, like you're talking, Zach, when we are obedient, we've read the word, we realize we've sinned, we repent, and we are immersion baptized for the remission of sins, and then we do remain faithful, then we are useful to God in furthering His kingdom. Proverbs 28. Boy, Proverbs is most of it's highlighted in my Bible, but Proverbs 28:9 applies here. It says, "He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination." Now, you know, how about that get preached all across the country one Sunday at all the churches? When you turn your ear from listening to the law, even your prayer is an abomination. But as was said earlier, the law's done away with. So, well, no, it's not. No, it's not. And we have these instructions again when we can go back to the Word, back to His Bible. And Paul, you bring up a good point. Many times it's better for those that aren't tied into their churchianity or their religiosity, and already have a preconceived notion of how things are supposed to be. No, the law's done away with. It's just, you know, we just kind of waiting to die and go to heaven, so to speak. And it's just not that way.
No, I tell people, if you want to tell the law done, I said, now you jump up on your house roof there, and then you walk off the edge. Now, if you float to the ground gently, the law's done away with. Otherwise, it's still in effect.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
And that's true. I mean, there's so many things, if you just stop and think for a second, that the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy just had a huge impact on me when I got a hold of that. And when you got all the curses on, you better look at what you got going on.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, you know, and... Well, a guy, you got those ministry sent me to him, and I went and seen him a few times down by Holland, and he wanted to get baptized, and I went and see him, and he said, well, I sin. I said, well, what's your sin? He says, well, I smoke. I said, well, smoking ain't a sin. It's stupid, but it ain't a sin. And I said, that ain't got nothing to do with it. And as far as I know, he still has nothing. He was just so ridden with guilt, he couldn't let it go. See, and it ain't my righteousness, it's Jesus' righteousness is what
yes.
it amounts to.
Yes.
And, you know, we're every one of us a sinner. If you look at that prostitute or that bum or that stuff, you know, if you think you're any better, that down deep, that's really what we are. We're converted to righteousness. You know, when my life, when I was going to church, I got a concordance, and probably the Holy Spirit let me do it. I studied every verse on baptism, and I could not find anybody that told me, it's okay if you want to be, but it's not necessary. I mean, I had not one person tell me I needed to be baptized.
Right.
And when I left that church, I went to the Baptist church, got baptized. I knew the Bible said it, and then I met Pastor Peters, and he did it right. So, but I'm telling you, there was nobody there, and there's something in me. The Bible overrides every one of you guys, and I think you all feel the same way.
Amen. You know, Hosea 4:6.
And anybody else.
Yes. And anybody else. Hosea 4:6 tells us that. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I reject you. And then he says, you've forgotten you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. And there's that law again. You know, Jesus himself said, if people will care to read the word, that he said, don't think I came to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Well, to fulfill it, you know, to follow it, to explain it, to bring it to the people, kind of a thing. to get it where, no, we couldn't keep the law for righteousness, but that didn't do away with the law, with God's laws, statutes, and judgments. And that is such a foreign concept to the Judeo-Christian out there. First John 3:4, sin is transgression of the law. But that's not preached. That's not taught. John 3:16 sure is, but not 1 John 3:4. And I read that at our Wednesday morning prayer breakfast. I meet with some other men in town that are more Judeo-Christian, because they don't know any better. And when I read that to them one time, they looked at me like I had written that in there myself. I literally turned the Bible around and showed it to them. Because the look on their face, because it's not taught, they don't know. Even the churchgoers, much less these, like you said, talk about Zach, these millennials, these, you know, this next generation that's out in the workforce and increasing and going. They don't know this. They haven't been taught this.
I see some of these younger people being teachable. I'll tell you a story about my grandson. He's 16 years old. He got a driver's license, and he was seeing this girl. He comes home one day and tells his mom, she says, "Well, I'm done with that." She says, "What, done with that?" She says, "Well, how come?" "Well, she wants to adopt that African kid." He says, "I want no part of that."
Man. Those prayers have been paying off. Those prayers pay off, don't they?
I pray for those boys, but I haven't done much of telling them that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? But they seem to have it on their own, and I think it's the hand of God raising up a people to take their place. I don't really know what's going on, but them boys, naming Noah, Caleb, and Jacob, my daughter did that. I don't know, maybe God did it. I kind of hope so.
Yes. Yeah, it gives you faith in this next generation. Like Zach talking about what Dave Ramsey says about these. It's not, all is not lost. All is not lost. You know, God always has his at least 7,000, and it may be 7 million, that don't bow their knee to Baal. We're in this new covenant. We have his laws, statutes, and judgments written on our heart. It really is I think a matter of one of you said it earlier about, you know, you have a choice, you can choose your destiny, but God has his people, and his laws are still written on the hearts of his people, regardless of what seems to be socially acceptable.
Yeah,
you know, there's still,
you need to keep in mind those miners up in Ireland, I believe it was, they were cussing and swearing and mining, you know, and then God, the Spirit of God came over them, and they quit cussing and swearing. The mules didn't even understand them. And that's what we got to pray for.
Yes, yes. And you get things out.
It can happen.
You see things in bright lights, little, every now and then. In Little Rock, there, the Satanists are still trying to get their statue of Baphomet allowed on the Capitol grounds. You know, they had the Ten Commandments there, and then the guy ran him over with his car, and he's done that twice before they locked him up, at two different capitals, ran into and knocked over the Ten Commandments, and so the Satanists, they had a meeting there, I guess just a day or two ago, and so the rights of religions, non-religions, and anti-religions were all debated outside on the grounds of the Arkansas State Capitol. And but there's one senator there, Senator Rapert, I don't know how you pronounce that, R-A-P-E-R-T, but he says, it'll be a cold day in hell before that Baphomet statue is allowed on my Capitol grounds, he said. And I say praise the Lord for that quote, if nothing else. It's about time for people to grow a set, for these men that are in there, to grow a set and to stand up and say no. And say no.
You know, remember that thing that when the Saxon begins to hate? I start seeing that. I've got a blueberry customer down by Pawpaw, and I was sitting there listening to him talking on the phone this spring, and I could just tell he had a whole new attitude, you know. He says, I mean, he just beginning to hate. You know, he sees a banker and all everything for what it is. Now he ain't got that thing, but it was a kind of a neat thing to hear what he told me the other day. You know, and they have a short crop, short of money, and everything like that. And well, he's talking to his banker, and the banker called up and just said, the banker got a notice that he dropped his insurance. He says, yeah, I dropped it. He says, well, you know, to have a loan, you got to have insurance. Well, he says, I'm self-insured. He says, I got to talk to my boss. I don't know how this is going to work. He says, you know, because they want insurance on that case that loan fails. And anyway, you know, but I'm just telling you the attitude of this guy. I heard him on a phone talking to me. I said, your attitude changed this year, big time. And he's telling them what they're going to pay for blueberries, and he's getting it. It's working. He's got a ways to go yet, but I'm just telling you how his attitude has changed. But anyway, then he told the banker, and he just messed with the banker's brain, you know, and he said, I shouldn't do that. I said, yeah, you should keep doing it. But anyway, so I found a cheaper policy, $14,000 cheaper. So anyway, but his attitude is what was so exciting to me. You know, he's up against the wall. These people are getting up against the wall of Babylon. It's just draining the life right out of them, and they can't function. And there's going to be a few people like him that get it. But the majority are
drug addicts. Several of those corn farmers out in Nebraska that I know and a couple of them that they were telling me about, and they did the same thing. They were like, you know what, if we can make it 3 years without a total loss, you know, we're money ahead. And they just said, we're going to trust God, and drop their insurance. And they went in and were talking with the banker, same deal, and they said, the bank was throwing a fit about it. Well, you got to have crop insurance. You got to have this insurance. You got to have that insurance. And they said, okay, well, we'll just pay off our loans. And they paid off their loans. They said, we don't want to be in debt either. And they were able to do it. And, you know, they constantly stayed in debt because of the tax write-offs and their taxes that they were paying. And they just made up their mind that they didn't want to be in debt anymore, and they weren't going to carry this insurance anymore.
Amen.
That's a spiritual change. That's a good thing. And it's happening all over the country, I believe. The news media ain't reporting it.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, our baker friend down at Masterpiece Cake Shop, down Mr. Jack Phillips down in Denver, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled in his favor that he did not have to violate his religious beliefs, his Christian beliefs, and create cakes that you know, celebrate an immoral and ungodly lifestyle. And the Supreme Court ruled on that. On the very day that they did, this left-wing, liberal, antichrist, death-deserving, Christian, lawyer is calling him on the phone trying to get a cake made for a transgender person. I want it pink on the inside and blue on the out, and he says no. And they call back and say, well, I want a cake to celebrate my divorce. And he says, no. And on and on and on. And, you know, I say God bless Jack Phillips, because he is standing. He is doing that very thing. He is still standing. But the enemy keeps coming against him. You know, and I think our mentality sometimes is, well, the Supreme Court ruled in his favor. Well, the enemy doesn't care about that. The enemy doesn't care about that. You know, I remember pastors teaching that really neither should we, because we have a higher supreme that rules. And that seems to be how Mr. Jack Phillips is looking at it. It goes on, it says, even though Jack serves all customers and simply declines to create custom cakes that express messages or celebrate events in violation of his deeply held beliefs, and that's Christian beliefs, the government is intent on destroying him, something the Supreme Court told it not to do. And they really are. It's the state of Colorado, and they're, I don't know what it is, Equal Rights Commission or something. You know, it says here, Phillips believes he would violate God's commands if he were to create custom cakes that express messages or celebrate events in conflict with his Christian beliefs. And so he is continuing on with what he's doing. But But he's not bowing his knee to Baal. Praise God. And I think it's encouraging when people out there hear that. When they hear things like that, like those, like you mentioned, Jason, those corn farmers that have finally said, I've had enough. I'm not going to do it this way anymore. Or like the one you mentioned, Paul, that says, no, I'm not going to play this game, Mr. Banker.
When the Saxon begins to, hey, they got a problem. It's starting to happen, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another thing. There's yard giants around here. Hey, he has no place here, you know, and it's a Jewish thing that all these Judeo-Christians have. You've seen that, Zach. There was running right around the corner.
Yeah, I've seen him.
And, hate has no place. Well, if you love Jesus, you better hate somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and that love everybody. I mean, you talk about insane. That's nuts.
It is. It absolutely is. You know, I talked about that, had a half hour at the pulpit a couple weeks ago and talked about that, that hate and love are two sides of the same coin. You know, we remember the infamous and timeless saying from Mr. Hoskins that wolves eat sheep. It's what they do. There's no changing that. You can hope they don't. You can wish they don't. You can love those wolves all you like, but they eat sheep. It's what they do. And if you love the sheep, you have to hate the wolves. Loving the sheep means hating the wolves. The Bible tells us, I think, six different times that to love God is to hate evil. And so these people that talk about love everyone, well, they hate nothing. They do not love God. They think they love everything. They're double-minded. They truly are.
You go into a church with a little truth, you'll see how much love's there.
That's right. You'll be asked to leave, if not thrown out.
I remember left just before it got thrown out. I wish it would have stayed a little longer.
I remember Pastor talking about the time that him and the guys were up elk hunting, I think, and stepped into a little Sunday night church service up in the mountain somewhere, and kind of unannounced. And the sermon was, you know, never to lie. God hates lying. And granted, now in the New Testament it says liars do not have a place in the kingdom. There's no doubt about that. But Pastor raises his hand and says, you know, well, what about the Hebrew midwives that lied to Pharaoh and were blessed? And you know, again, Pastor just trying to show him some truth. It wasn't received very well. But we have to get back to the Word. You know, that Hosea 4:6. Because since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. But, you know, even in that, we find ourselves in that as a people, second, third, you know, generation at least, if not more, people that have forgotten the law of God. But the good news is in that as well. Because when we return to the law of God, when we return to His laws, statutes, and judgments, even if it's just in our own home, when we return to that and we do our best to live our lives not bowing down to Monsanto and, you know, not living in the world the way the world lives, when we remember His law and we apply His law, not for salvation, no, we know that's through Christ alone, but still, when we apply His law, well, guess what? He remembers our children, and things begin to change. And we've seen that. We've seen that in so many lives, and that's where it starts. It starts in the individual, that choice that they make. And those millennials and everybody else out there needs to hear it.
Well, you know, that's another thing everybody likes to put a name on something, like millennials and whatever else like that. But, you know, when I was young and getting stuff, and people wanted to know what church you went to, because if they can categorize you and put you on the shelf.
Right.
You know, and you know, I read just through Genesis 2, you know, where they sold Joseph into slavery, and they were, you know, and then Jacob died, and they thought his brother was going to get even with him. He said, no, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And see, that's where we have to see the big picture that's going on here, that isn't we can't just look at our news media, what you and I see today, and God's got a plan that's way bigger than us, and it will be carried out. Amen. And we ought to make sure we're on the right side.
Amen. Yep. You know, Hosea 10:13 says, sow, S-O-W, sow, you farmers understand that, sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you, meaning to teach you. And so that is how we are to go about our lives, with that view of sowing righteousness in anything and everything that we can do. And those seeds will bring a harvest. They truly will.
Well, when you know, if you're hungry and you take that little seed and stick in the ground and you didn't need it, you know, that's faith. And that's how it works. You sacrifice something and you get something in return. And that's the way it works.
Amen.
What, one seed of corn makes like 600 kernels? I don't know, three, four, I don't know what it is, but it's a lot for one kernel. It's you know, it's tremendous. So you got to bury that little seed.
Right.
In more ways than one.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
No, I think, you know, we look at what's going on. I think it's pretty exciting days when you get a perspective of what we have. It's pretty exciting. You know, so, well, just like that banker, he has no ground. All he had is paper, and this guy that has all the blueberries, he's got all the cards, and he's got his paper, and he's living high off his labor. You know, and finally say, hey, that's enough. Get yourself a hole and get to work yourself.
Amen.
But the whole system that today is parasitic. It's just sucking the life right out of us, and people are getting down to the point where they can't bear it no more. And the weather's going to humble us, too. I mean, if you can't see what's going on around us, I mean, we are subject to God's control one way or another.
Yes. You know, you talk about that weather, the record-setting fires in California. Of course, Pastor 10, 12, 15 years ago was preaching about record-setting fires, because 10 or 12 years ago they were setting new records then, and they're setting new records now. One firefighter, I saw the report, lost his life here back in July. It was a fire tornado that was they estimated it to be 3 football fields in length wide, 300 plus yards wide, a fire tornado of swirling fire and smoke, a tornado, literally. Everybody knows what that is, but of fire and smoke. He was over a mile away, and it changed directions 90 degrees in an instant and raked over where he was at, and he lost his life. And it was, that was in the evening, and it was the next morning before they could even get into the area. Never before have they seen this type of weather. Ever. No one has. The type of weather, the type of burning, the type of winds that they're having there in California.
Well, I read one little bit part of it. It said it's creating its own wind and moving at will. I mean, there's no way, even the surface winds, it just, by the what's going on, it's creating its own wind.
Yes. Yes, that's what they do. But even this has just never before seen this. And so, you know, today is not, I mean, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow, but today is not going to be like yesterday. It's not. And there's so many out there that just think it's just the same old, same old. You know, that banker with his paper, you know, he's off today. It's Saturday. So he's golfing or doing, you know, whatever he gets to do today and tomorrow too, probably. And he thinks Monday's just going to be just like last Monday was. But it's not. It's not. Things are changing. Things are changing.
Well, you know that rainbow was God's promise. He wouldn't do it with a flood again. But you know how he's going to do it the next time, don't you? With fire.
With fire.
Yep.
Yes, with fire.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
You know, and two, you know, these people up on top, I don't really know what I think of them. You know, that Betsy DeVos, she's from right just down the road here. And They got a $40 million yacht. $40 million. And somebody turned it loose and hit the dock. They did $10,000 worth of damage. Well, cripe, that's like a dent in your car. you know, yeah. But I don't know what I think of those people up there. You know, God's hand is in this whole thing, but I bet you every week I told Peter, curse the man that trusts in man. And, you know, but my point is, their whole fortunes were built in Babylon. I don't know how true they are to change either, so that's my point.
Yeah. Well, guys, we're about out of time. I want to sure thank you guys for joining us this morning. We thank you, the Remnant, for tuning in. And, hey, we'll invite you to church tomorrow. Good Lord willing, we'll be there starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And we'll have a little bit of everything for you. A review of the news, a timeless pulpit truth that I don't know what it's going to be tomorrow, but I can tell you it's going to be prophecies that were prophesied years ago that we see coming true today. That's my take on it. John will have a live message, and we'll have communion and some new music for tomorrow. So we encourage you, come to church with us, and don't forsake the assembly. And so, guys, thanks again. And, hey, we'll go out with a little reminder of God's vengeance. Thanks, guys.
I see God's vengeance arising. I see payback on the way. I see earthquakes and lightning. Satan's kingdom is coming down today. Don't give up the fight. Darkness turns to light. God's vengeance is on the rise. I hear a hurricane blowing. I know the end is coming soon. Righteous wrath is overflowing. The children of Satan are doomed. Don't give up the fight. Darkness turns to light. God's vengeance is on the rise.
disposal, stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.